Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS on KMOX. Happy Wednesday to you. Oh, my mom's so upset right now. Anytime we don't go on time, she thinks I'm dead. So, that screwed her up. Plus, every KMOX listener over 80 thinks that there's a hurricane hitting St. Louis right now. Since they broke into programming, they're like, what? This is news. Don't go outside. It may look fine from your window in Kirkwood, but about to get your ass blasted. Hello, Patricia Gazelle.
Hello.
I can't stop saying it. Yesterday, Trish tried out one of my pens, which, by the way, no one sent me one in a week. If you have a giveaway pen and you'd like to get a shout out on the show, send it to 1220 Olive Street, St. Louis, in care of me. And so when she tried it out, she wrote, "Hello, Patricia Gazelle." And that was very cute. And then today, I was looking through a bunch of old notebooks, like at least 6 to 12 months old. I just never throw anything away. These are deep in my desk, and out falls a little smaller notepad, and written on it is, hello, Patricia Gazelle.
Testing a pen.
I guess I have a thing. I did not know I did that. I was just, testing the pen. Apparently I do this all the time, because that was from, what, a year ago?
Yeah. It was very funny.
It's a great pen, though. It's Timmerman Benhoff. That's one somebody sent you.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I don't know what else to say other than when I test out pens, I write, "Hello, Patricia Gazelle."
Also, you've lived a lot of life on the DGS in the past 24 hours, taken some heat from listeners. Mm-hmm. I loved this. So let's start with the guy that tweeted that needed to call you out.
God, yesterday we were talking about
Wolf pups.
The wolf pup. And apparently...
The wolf pup.
Never hit the L harder.
I don't hit the L, apparently. So Sean said, okay, are you guys going to acknowledge that Trish called wolf pups, like 10 times? No one said anything, so you have thousands of people thinking they are going crazy.
I would love it if that's how close to the edge St. Louis really is.
I know.
I do love that Dave just said wolf pups, and then Trish goes, wolf pup. Like, you still changed it.
Wolf? It's hard to say.
No. I just mean, like, he said it plural, and you said it singular. It was cute.
Wolf? Wolf? What am I saying?
Wolf pups.
Let's just do this.
Oh, I'm dropping
six.
The S on
For
pup.
Real.
I got it. Okay.
So
Sean, we've acknowledged it now, and people can calm down.
So speaking of acknowledging, tell us about your phone call yesterday.
So yesterday during the think tank, it was Peter Meredith and Mike Elam, and I was sitting in the producer room because there weren't enough mics in the room. So the phone rang, and I decided to answer it because, I wanted to talk to the people. So it was a man.
My people.
And, he started off saying, well, you got these two people. One's a Democrat and one's a Republican. And I'm like, yeah, that's what we do during the think tank. And one is saying only rich Republicans donate. And one is saying only one Democrat or only rich Democrats donate. The reason why isn't really that important, other than he was saying, you don't have anybody in the middle. And I said, well, Dave's a moderate. He's in the middle. And then he goes, like, oh, Dave Glover me and my wife listen to him all the time.
What's he on?
We listen to the serious stuff and the goofy stuff. And I just went like, haha, like, oh, haha. And he goes, you're laughing at me? And I was like, no, I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you. And then he goes back to the Republican-Democrat conversation. And I was on the phone for a good 5 minutes.
I was watching you. Like, you seem to be having the time of your life.
So he finished that. He finished his thought. And I was like, okay, I'll let him know. And then I said, so what do you like about the goofy stuff? Did I say he said I like when they do the serious stuff? Yeah. So I said, what do you like the goofy stuff? And he goes, well, you didn't acknowledge what I said. And I said, about the thing? I said, I feel like we fleshed that out, sir. I said, we're still on the phone, so I thought I'd just ask you a question. And he goes, but you didn't acknowledge what I said. I said, well, okay, I'm acknowledging it now. Can I ask you a question now? And he goes, well, I said, I'm trying to build a rapport with you. Because let me tell you, I can turn somebody around.
Mm-hmm. We've seen it.
I can. Oh, yeah. That's like one of my talents. Hello, like if anyone out there doesn't like me, give me a lunch. I'll turn you around. I'm serious. This guy on the phone, I actually said I'm trying to build a rapport with you. And he like stuttered a little. And he goes, well, I just want to talk. Or you didn't acknowledge. I said, well, I'm acknowledging it now. I'm asking you a question because I thought we were on the phone and we're talking back and forth. And he goes, well, I don't appreciate you trying to build a rapport with me. And I said, well, I will never have a conversation with you again. And he said, well, I'll never call again. And I said, good. And then we both hung up.
Wow.
It was like, at one point I did say, you just want to say what you don't like. You don't want me to have a conversation with you. You just want to tell me what you don't like. And I don't know what he said after that. I was just like, done.
I love that the Trish Fight Club has now expanded into phone calls with listeners. Yeah.
I was in. I was like, I'm turning this guy around. We're going to laugh. We're going to have a joke.
I was watching you, and you look like a 14-year-old talking to her girlfriend.
She's like twirling the cord in her fingers.
Yeah, you're smiling.
I thought I was
going to
get him at first. I did. I'm like, this is going to go well.
You should have pulled out the woof thing.
Yeah, I really should.
Have you ever heard of a wolf pup?
What's a wolf pup?
I have never heard anyone say, I don't appreciate you trying to build a rapport with me.
That's pretty good.
Okay.
I mean, where do you go from there?
Right.
I wonder if maybe he didn't know what that meant. And he was like, oh, hold on now. No rapport.
No, I think he knew exactly what it meant. So anyway, sir, I'd love to chat again sometime.
give her a lunch. She'll turn him around.
I love that that's one of your superpowers.
I do. I think I can get to people. And actually, when people are rude or don't give me an inch, it almost becomes a mission.
Yeah.
Like, I need to get this person now on my side. And usually it turns out in my favor.
Gotcha.
Not this time.
224 DGS. Okay, I can't let go of the wolf thing. I have no social media. I don't have my social media sea legs, obviously, so I'm not used to people. Yeah, tweeting or, you know, harshing on me, what have you. But it makes me laugh sometimes when they do. And when the guy went off on Trish, because instead of saying wolf, she said woof. And I just love it. Like, I don't know what you're saying. Like, if there was a wolf behind him and Trish goes, oh, my God, there's a wolf. It'd be like, I don't know what you're saying. And it's like he'd die because he'd be like, she said woof and I didn't know what she meant. And then the fact that he said that there were thousands of people losing their minds in the audience. Like, I just love the thought of that. Like, thousands of people in their cars just like, one more time.
I can't believe she did that.
Maybe he's just so used to us jumping on each other for every little thing. That
could be it. Yeah, we didn't police each other.
Are you guys okay?
Speaking of people getting mad, two groups. Andrew, DGS quiz. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me the two groups who've gone off on me the hardest over the years?
Is one the Scientologists?
No. They went pretty hard, but whatever.
Is it? I don't want to say it because I don't want to bring up bad. I don't want to bring up bad memories.
Me too.
Okay.
Does it start with an F? The group.
No, he's.
Cool. Does it start with a B?
Oh, those guys don't count.
Okay.
So there's been a lot of groups, is what we're figuring out.
There's been a couple of groups.
No, I meant like weird, funny ones. One was doctors, and one was
pumpkin farmers.
Oh, my God. I forgot about the pumpkin farmers.
Today, there was a story saying, like, hey, like everything else, your pumpkin's going up. It's going to cost you this much. And I'm like, don't say a word.
I don't know this.
15 years ago or something, I went pumpkin picking with Phoebe and Nick pumpkin when they were little. And, you know, like a big pumpkin was like $20 or $25 or something. And I have a little bit of experience in the pumpkin business. I worked at Losh's, and I'm like, how can it be that expensive? Like, you put seeds in the ground, and you wait, and here comes a pumpkin. Oh, my God. Who knew the pumpkin council was so well organized? You have no idea what you're talking about. And there's so much waste, and we have to build stupid corn mazes for you a-holes. I'm just like, damn.
Remember when we brought up the feeding chickens thing, and that one lady got really upset about how we didn't know anything about feeding chickens.
Oh, yeah. I was here during that.
We were talking about like the chicken farming, and she got really mad because we didn't know the intricacies of how you feed chicken properly.
She was like, you four bozos have no clue what you're talking about. Ma'am, you are correct.
I was like, well, yeah, but
the doctor thing was a long time ago, because it's when my mom broke her neck. And I took her to the doctor at SLU, and we had like a 9 a.m. appointment. We got in at like 10:45, and it's a long time to sit with your mom who has a broken neck. Mm-hmm. So I went on the air, and I don't remember being especially vitriolic, but I just said, like, why is your time more important than mine? You know, like, shouldn't I get something for all that time I sit there and waited? And a doctor called. Remember that? And he goes, you know what it is. It's you people. You say you're coming in because you have a sore thumb. Then you show me your toe, your infected toe. And I am bound to look at that stupid infected toe. And now I'm behind all day. And I'm like, dude.
And you're just like, my mom had a broken neck. What do you want me to tell you?
Go into pumpkin farming. I don't know what to tell you. 234 DGS. I have no idea how to even introduce this topic, so Rach, you just take it away.
Okay, so in Jacksonville, Florida, there is a Christian academy that removed an 8-year-old student from their school when parents complained about a homework assignment that their child was given. So it looks like the child was sent home with like a week's worth of homework at the beginning of the week, just kind of letting parents know what would be expected Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night. And on Tuesday night, one of the assignments was send a picture of you doing reading homework in the bathtub. Mm. So the parents were a little upset by that, and they wrote back on the sheet, because they're supposed to initial the sheet, you know, whenever they complete their homework assignments and return it every day. I remember having to do something like that when I was in elementary school. They wrote on the sheet, so Mackenzie will not be taking pictures in the bathtub. We do not condone taking pictures in the bathroom. And they called the school to further clarify, like, what are you guys talking about? You want to take a picture of our kid in the tub? And they were like, we send this assignment out every year, and you guys are the only people who have ever complained. That was the real statement they gave to them. And they said, just make sure she's covered up in like pajamas or pillows or something, but send the assignment home with her reading in the bathtub. It's supposed to be a fun thing. The parents actually ended up calling the police, which I don't know if maybe that was an overstep, but the police advised them.
What do you say on that call? Like, 911, hello, my school.
The police were like, we would advise you to not take the photo. So they decided not to take the photo. And later they met with school administrators, and the family claims that they were told, like, I think you should do a parental withdrawal for your child, like voluntarily taking your child out of school. And they said, no, we're not doing that. We don't want to do that at all. And they were like, okay, well, thanks for that, but we're going to go ahead and do an administrative withdrawal, and your child's kicked out of school.
Bunch of losers.
Jeez. Was this a private school?
It's a private Christian school.
So they paid tuition.
Yes. And the New York Post actually got a hold of the story and tried to get a hold of the school, and they would neither confirm nor deny that the child was kicked out of school. But they said they did pull the homework assignment in the future. They're not going to ask kids to take pictures in the bathtub anymore.
So what did you kick the kid out for?
Yeah, sounds like you agree with them.
Right.
Because the parents dare question their authority to the school that they're paying?
Right.
Like, that's a little weird. And I feel like when you read that sentence, like, the assignment was to take a picture of your child in the bathroom, we all kind of went like, oh, that's weird.
Yeah, maybe don't. Maybe not in the year 2022 when we know of everything that goes on. Like, yeah. It just feels like a easy way to not do that. Like, I don't know.
I had a teacher that wanted me to do my homework in his bathtub all the time. That was weird.
Your mom's like, sign in the... All right, I'll initial it.
Oh, my God.
I think maybe the issue would have been the note written back saying, like, Mackenzie's not doing this because we don't condone doing homework or, you know, taking pictures in the bathroom, which maybe that could be construed as disrespectful. If you're extremely sensitive, maybe you could construe that as disrespectful. The other thing, maybe the school got mad that they called the cops.
Yeah.
I mean, that's certainly a possibility.
I mean, I understand the crappy, you know, response by everyone, but you're talking about a kid and you're talking about expelling a kid, you know, like, really? Like,
yeah.
Oh, we see you got expelled when you're 8. Why? Because I wouldn't do my homework in the bathtub. My parents called the cops.
Yeah, like, if I was the school and I got the letter back from the parents that said, yeah, we don't really condone, like, taking pictures of kids in bathtubs, I feel like I would go like, oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, like, sorry about that.
Didn't really think of it from that
angle.
Well,
they probably couldn't. If they were to do that, I mean, they could possibly get sued, I would imagine, by some parents in the past who are like, you made us take a picture of our child in the bathroom. I mean, we sue over lesser things.
I don't know. I mean, I'm thinking out of both sides of my mouth because... it's the kind of thing that I could see going off on because, like, whatever, lighten up. I'm so sure they meant get your kid naked and send us a picture of him. But at the same time, it's close enough to weird that you don't want to do that.
Yeah. I think it's pretty creepy, actually.
I just think anytime you set a boundary like that where it's like, no, we don't condone doing stuff like that. I mean, isn't it on the organization to go like, okay, fair enough. This isn't actually going to affect their learning in any way if they don't do the reading assignment in the bathroom is sort of like a kooky fun thing to do. Just leave it alone at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You gonna talk about your sleep paralysis?
Oh yeah, I had a terrible sleep paralysis experience, dream, whatever you want to call it, last night. And I think it's because I'm working on the Halloween show right now. And have we said what that's going to be? Do we want to say what it's going to be?
Oh, I think it's fine. In fact, I'll tell you this. So we've done the DGS Halloween show now for 20 years, 21 years. And typically we have gone to a place and done an investigation and presented the evidence and so forth and so on. And after 20 years of that, when we started doing this, paranormal television really didn't exist. And so it was a bigger deal and it was really unique. And now I dare you to flip your remote control more than 3 times and not hit a paranormal show. And so I'm a little bit over the going to a haunted house kind of thing. And so in 2008, we were literally the first people ever to go into the Exorcist house over in Belle Noor across from Umzel. And this year, what I want to do is do a retrospective on it and do like kind of a documentary style, incorporating our investigation, incorporating what happened with us, because we were the first people ever to go in there, like, for that reason, but also bringing in some experts and telling the true story of the exorcism. So it's going to be a little bit different this year.
So there will be new stuff, too?
Yeah, there will be new stuff, new experts, new information. And I know it will disappoint some people who just love us going to spooky houses and, oh my gosh, what was that? I think it was a ghost. And that was a lot of fun. And I'm not saying we'll never do it again. I'm just saying, like, you know, time moves on, you know, and I've done it 20 times. Mm-hmm.
And it was cool, like, last year going to Jefferson Barracks because no one had ever been let in.
Yeah.
But a situation where it's like, we could go somewhere we've been before. We could try to find a new place. This just seemed like a good project to do this year.
Yeah.
But I had never listened through the entire old Exorcist show because I've talked about it on the show before. I have a real aversion to, like, that story, that movie. This, it's not for me. I'll never watch it. And ironically, now I'm like working on this piece that's supposed to be a documentary thing about it. So I listened to the whole thing yesterday and I was creeped out, but then I kind of was able to put it out of my mind and not worry about it. But early this morning, I had like a sleep paralysis thing where I felt like something was in my room and I could feel my bed shaking and I could feel, sometimes when I get sleep paralysis, I feel like wind like blowing on me, and it's not my fan, it's like wind in my room, and it was so realistic that I truly did think I was awake, and I'm trying to click on my lamp, but the bulbs burned out, and I'm getting out of bed, and I'm going to another lamp in my apartment and trying to turn it on, and that's burned out, and finally I snapped out of it and woke up, and I was like, oh thank God none of that was real, because it felt so real. But I think I'm going through that because of the spooky Halloween stuff.
You wake up and sitting at the end of your bed is Lucy wearing a priest outfit.
Paws folded.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's a rough one for me. When I was 12, I think I was 12 when it came out, thereabouts. And I used to love horror magazines, Fangoria and things like that. And all they had was an artist drawing of Reagan from The Exorcist. And it just made all my junk go numb. And I was just like, oh, my God. And I was obsessed with it ever since then, and saw the movie a couple times. And it's absolutely horrific and terrifying. And here I am, an agnostic who doesn't openly acknowledge. And however, when I went into the Exorcist house and went into that little room where it happened, it's just, you know,
did a family live there when you went in?
Yeah, a guy did. A guy named Nick, he lived there by himself, really cool guy, tried to get in for kind of 2 or 3 years, and I don't blame him, like, who, you know, no, this is my home. Mm-hmm. And then I guess one day he's like, well, check this guy out, and he became a big fan of the show, and he was like, yeah, come on in. And yeah, it was crazy. It was really, really,
cool.
Really, really something.
Who was all in the house? Like, who was on the show then?
Let's see, Tom was there, Katie was there, Tony was there. Troy Taylor, who's a big deal in the paranormal, written a million books on all the topics. He's from over in the East Side like us. Father Jeff was there. Father Jeff Vohman, mm-hmm. who I can now say this since he's no longer a priest. He's left the priesthood. But we were standing in the room where the exorcism took place. Me and him and Tom and Katie and Tony, I think, holding hands, having a prayer before we started. Got about halfway through. And Father Jeff goes, nope, 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 F this, nope, something's really wrong here, and I'm leaving. And he walked out, and he was walking down the sidewalk. It was still light outside. It was dusky right around this time. And I remember saying to him, I'm like, you can't get possessed if you're a Christian, right? And he didn't even turn around. He just waved his hand to me, and he goes, yep, sure can. I'm like, well, there we go. There we go. Let's start this thing up. So we'll be presenting that to you somewhere around Halloween. We say somewhere because that's the first game of the World Series, and hopefully we'll be preempted by that. 250 DGS, speaking of the Halloween show, again, 21, 22 years of it. And we had a lot of great times, a lot of scary, a lot of great shows, but a lot of really funny stuff. Probably the funniest in hindsight. At the time, I didn't think it was funny at all. So Dr. Michael Lynch was my paranormal guy for years and years and years. Love Mike. He's the best. And when I met Jason and Grant, the guys who do Ghost Hunters, who are good friends of mine now, I mentioned him. And they're like, wait a minute. Dr. Michael Lynch? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, oh, my God. He's the founder of Paranormal. He invented ghosts. Anyway, so the original Halloween show was at the Limp Mansion, and it was based on The Ghost of Mr. Chicken, which I love, and we picked 6 people who were acknowledged scaredy cats, and we walked them around the Limp Mansion, and we told them all the stories, and we scared them, and we had this gothic dinner, and at midnight, one of them was going to be picked to spend the rest of the night in the house. So phase one is critical. You know, you have to get them scared. And so it went swimmingly. Like, we have all these experts, and they're telling these stories. And, you know, Mary, my buddy over there at the Limp, and she's so great. And suddenly Lynch is gone. I can't find him. So we get up to one of the final bedrooms, and we walk in, and here's Dr. Lynch wearing what looks like... He looks like a Cylon from Spaceship Galactica or whatever it is.
Galactica.
Yeah. And it's like a scuba suit. And it's just, like, he's a cyborg. And he has this big mask on. And it has a red light on it that goes back and forth. And he looks really impressive, but just insane.
What is he doing?
Well, I had no idea. And so everyone gets quiet and it's super somber. And they're all just terrified. And I got him in the palm of my hand. And then Mike goes,
with this mask, I can see in 18 different varieties of light. No specter can escape me.
And we're all like, holy crap, this is amazing. He's got a freaking ghost suit. And he just keeps saying, he's looking around the room. He's like, I see you. And it's like, he's like, people only see in this. I can see in ultraviolet and infrared. And then he turns around to walk and he trips on an ottoman and he face plants and it busts his mask.
No.
And so now it's just
you
his
are
face.
Lying.
No, swear to God. So now it's just his face with broken glass everywhere, and he knocks the wind out of him. He's like, oh! And everyone hits the ground laughing. Everyone is dying.
God.
I've wasted 2.5 hours. I have to start all over scaring these people.
God.
Tripped over an ottoman.
So that was your very first one.
Very first one.
That's a good place to do
it. Nothing escapes my gaze.
Nothing escapes
so
my gaze.
So where is he now?
He's out there somewhere.
Still
ghosting it up.
Yeah, still hunting for ghosts. Maybe he has a new mask by now.
Oh, man.
That's really funny.
Yeah, that was pretty good. It was pretty funny. What was your first one, Andrew?
My first one was, I think, the details are a little bit hazy because I was an intern, so I didn't have a lot of involvement, but the violin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that one was incredibly frightening.
Mm-hmm.
And if you recall, it was like messing with people's radios.
I do remember that.
And they kept calling in and telling us that it was like whatever we were doing was messing with the radio. We're like, we're not doing anything. We're just playing the...
Remember the year we did the pit? We were out in the middle of nowhere in Illinois, in the middle of about a 500-acre farm. At these like remains of an 1850 house, and it's super scary even without any sort of haunting or anything. And we took listeners for a long time. And one guy walks up to me and he goes, dude, I feel real bad about this, but I forgot and I brought a loaded gun.
Oh God.
He's like, is that okay? We good?
No.
Like, as long as you don't use it.
I'm about to put you in the basement of a haunted house in the middle of the woods with a loaded gun.
God.
I was like, Katie Cruz, why don't you take the pit?
So what, over the 20 shows that you've done, what's the scaredest you've been? Like, truly, like, oh, my gosh.
You know what I thought was really scary? When we went to Mineral Springs. And, like, I have kind of that special relationship with Mineral Springs. I used to live there, and I was terrified when I was living there.
Mm-hmm.
But the person that we brought with us was in the pool in the basement, which is sort of the focal point of the haunting there. And the door, like, locked itself.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And she started screaming. Legit. And we had a hard time getting into the pool because the door was locked. And, like, we couldn't get the door open, and she's, like, screaming, like, help me, yeah. I don't like this, I need help.
Probably the most scared I was. Like, the Exorcist house was really scary, but I was never really alone. But when we did the Limp Caverns, and the Limp Caverns are amazing. I don't even know if you can go there anymore, but they're just amazing. And we did the whole show, and at the end of it, pardon me, at the end of it, Jeff Allen, who was my boss back then, very casually said, because we had people stationed all over so that if someone fell, you know, we'd, hey, do this. And he's like, oh, why don't you go down and get Tom? Well, Tom's like five caverns down. And I had to go down this rickety staircase at 3 a.m. by myself. And so that's probably the most like actually scared I was. I love it too. Tom was there hiding to make sure everyone was fine, and he brought a little igloo cooler with lunch, and we had all the contestants mic'd up, and they're walking through and they're talking their way through, and one of them found it and ate his lunch. He just sat down and ate his ham sandwich. Oh man.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.